Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, ascended Lord, send us your Holy Spirit, that we may be encouraged and empowered to be your witnesses. Amen. Have you ever played peekaboo with a newborn? Or tried? My one-year-old is still in the phase where he really likes peekaboo. He gets lots of enjoyment, lots of laughs out of it. And it's so much fun, right, just to see their little giggle carry him away. But if you ever have tried playing peekaboo with a baby less than, I think, 4 months old, your experience might be a little bit different. You'll hide yourself behind a blanket or duck behind the couch, and instead of the baby waiting with anticipation for you to pop back out and surprise them and big old smile on their face, a baby that young will lose focus immediately. They'll start looking at something else. They'll totally be disengaged from the game. You'll pop back up, and they're going to be, you know, somewhere else, off in their own little world. And the reason for this, did you know this, is because at around 4 months old is when babies develop something called object permanence. What object permanence is this concept that happens that our brains develop into, that we all take for granted, but which is something that develops after about 4 months of life. This awareness that even though you aren't looking at something, it still exists. See, for a baby who's less than 4 months old, their whole world is whatever they can sense. The room they're in is the entire world as far as they're concerned, and as soon as you go out of their view, you don't exist to them anymore. Now, this is kind of fun to do experiments with if you have access to a baby that is that young. And it's fun to see how they begin to realize that, oh, when I leave the room, I'm still there. I'm just not with them right now. But I wonder sometimes if we Christians don't struggle with a little bit of object permanence ourselves. You know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he raised his hands in blessing, and his feet lifted off from the earth, and a cloud hid him from our sight, from the sight of his disciples. And we don't see him with the eyes in our head anymore, do we? I think there's a real danger that we start to live lives, to act and to think as though Jesus is really gone. After all, he finished what he came to do, didn't he? And Jesus came to redeem the world from sin and death, and he did it. He lived the life that we were supposed to live, this perfect life of love for God and neighbor. He lived it to the full. He fulfilled that purpose. He offered the sacrifice for our sins that would atone for everything we have done to divide us from God. He accomplished it. He proclaimed it on the cross. It is finished. And then he rose from the dead to prove that what he had done was effective, that you have the forgiveness of sins, that eternal life is yours in him. He completed his work, right? So what is there left for him to do? It would make sense if at the ascension, Jesus left. And with that kind of thinking, we sometimes fall into this kind of living that treats Jesus like he's gone. What does it really matter if Jesus is hardly ever a concern in my life? He's so far away, up in heaven, right? He's not here. But what'll he even know? As long as I check in once a week or so and put on a good face at church. Now, what's Jesus going to know if I kind of don't care that much about what he says? He's not going to be here to see, is he? And there's the other side of it, too. It's like, well, if Jesus is gone, then I'm left to figure out this whole life thing on my own. I'm here to chart my own course. I got to figure out and make sure that everything goes well for me because Jesus isn't here. And the disasters and the tragedies of this world can easily convince us that there is no story with a good ending, that there is no plan that's coming to completion if Jesus is really gone. Friends, this is the good news of the ascension. Jesus hasn't abandoned us. He lifted off from this earth, and a cloud hid him from our sight. But he isn't gone. We don't see him with our eyes, but he is closer to us than we could ever physically sense. Jesus' ascension was not his retirement. It was his coronation. And friends, Jesus, as the King of the universe, is still working. When Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father at his ascension, he sat down and took up all authority over every dominion and every power in this world. He rules all of creation from individual lives to the grand sweep of history. He has authority over it all. And he wields that authority for you. For his church, for his people, blood-bought souls whom he values so much. He rules all things for you. That is his work as our risen and ascended Lord. He is King of kings and Lord of lords, the name that was given to him that John reported back to us in Revelation 19. And that is such good news, friends. Jesus has not abandoned us. No. He is actively still working for us, with us in mind, with our good as his goal. And that means that even though the devil, the world, and our sinful nature might do everything they can to cause us to forget that fact, to separate us from him, to subvert his will and his plans, they ultimately can do us no real harm. Jesus reigns over all things. And so, no matter how the devil may rage, Jesus will always be working to reveal his lies for what they are and to make sure his plans fall incomplete. As Jesus' own will is done. Jesus is still working, friends, working to bless you, his people, and his people all over the world. But that reign of Jesus, that ruling activity of Jesus over history, that is not the reign with which Jesus is primarily concerned. Yes, he rules with his left hand over all the kingdoms of this earth, but the kingdom of his right hand is a little different. He talked about it constantly during his ministry on earth. He told parables, and he proclaimed it joyfully. He called it the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. What he meant by those phrases was his gracious rule, his gracious lordship over the hearts of people. How does Jesus become Lord of a person's heart? Well, he told his disciples, didn't he? He said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job, his will, his work is to make Jesus present with his people. That is what the Holy Spirit does. As the Holy Spirit works in a person's heart, he brings Jesus with him. And the Holy Spirit works through the gospel, what we call the means of grace. As the Holy Spirit works through the word and the sacrament, he comes and he cleans out a person's heart. He drowns the sinful nature, that selfish, prideful, sin-loving default setting of all human beings. He drowns it out and makes that person's heart the dwelling place, the throne room for Jesus. He kills that sinful nature and brings new life there. And the source of that new life is Jesus himself. It is Jesus' eternal life that the Holy Spirit brings to hearts through the gospel. And friends, the Holy Spirit is still working. The Holy Spirit is working here in you. He worked in you in baptism, where the flood of water bound together with the Word of God worked with the Holy Spirit's power, with Jesus' own power, to bring Jesus' own life and plant it there like a seed to grow and flourish and bear fruit. As you remember your baptism, friends, Jesus is working to remind you of who you are, to root you ever more deeply in the identity he gave you there, one that is clothed in him and in his righteousness that makes you a child of God. Jesus is working, friends, as his word is read and spoken and proclaimed and taught and meditated upon and conversed about. Jesus is working to form your hearts and minds to his heart and mind as he reveals his heart and mind to you. Jesus is working. We gather around this rail up here as he makes his words true to you again. This is my body, this is my blood, as he gives his risen and ascended and ever-living body and blood to you to unite himself to you in the most intimate possible way. Jesus is working. And wherever and as long as his people gather around his gospel, Jesus will continue to work in your hearts. He will continue to be present in you and with you. He will continue to give you his strength, his forgiveness, his power, his endurance, his courage, and every good gift that he has to give you, up to and including eternal life with God. But Jesus doesn't just work in us. Friends, he also works through us. The disciples were a little confused about Jesus' kingdom still. The prevailing view of the kingdom of God's coming in Judaism in the first century was that when the Messiah came, he would bring the rule of God over all things right away. And so they asked Jesus when he spoke about giving them his spirit. This was something that would happen in the end times, right? They asked Jesus if this was the time when he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, if this was the time when he was going to establish God's rule on earth. And Jesus told him, don't worry so much about the timing. Rather, what did he tell him? He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Friends, that is how God establishes his kingdom. That is how Jesus' gracious rule comes to more and more hearts. God's people take the good news message with them out into the world wherever they go. And the Holy Spirit works through it. Friends, if we were sent out by Jesus to do this on our own, how terrifying would that be? If Jesus sent us out to make God's kingdom come into the world, if he sat retired in heaven and said, I'll be back in a while to see how you did, Wouldn't that be the most terrifying thing in the world? It is up to you to make people believe, to change hearts, to save souls for eternity. Wouldn't that just cripple us with fear, with trepidation, with inadequacy? But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do it. You see, whatever Jesus calls his people to, he always gives them the resources to accomplish. And so Jesus promised his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't only bring Jesus presence, he also brings Jesus power. As his disciples witness, Jesus would be working through them. He would be bringing his power to work the miracle of faith in people's hearts. He would be bringing them into a relationship with himself and with the triune God. He would be making them children of the Heavenly Father. He would be clothing them in white robes. And isn't that what we saw? Isn't that what we saw in John's vision? Jesus wrapping his people and leading them in a train, wrapping his people in white robes that are unbloodied, undirtied by the fight that he has already won for them. Friends, the full title that's given to the book of Acts, usually we just write Acts in the bulletin, right? The full title of the book of Acts is often given as the Acts of the Apostles. But I think that Luke would have proposed a different name for his book. You remember, like the evangelist Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he was the one who also wrote the book of Acts. It was kind of a two-volume set kind of thing. And it was supposed to be one continuous story. And in this one continuous story, the main character is the same from beginning to end. Luke actually indicates this. He wrote in the first verse that we read today, he said, in my former book, Theophilus, Theophilus is the guy that he dedicated and wrote the book to originally, he said, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach. What's the implication? In the Gospel of Luke, Luke wrote about Jesus' birth and life and ministry and death and resurrection and ascension. But Luke wants you to know that was only the beginning. A better title for the book of Acts, I think the one Luke would have endorsed, would be the Acts of the Risen Christ. Because friends, Jesus is still working. And that's what I want to leave you all with. The book of Acts tells the story of Jesus risen and ascended, continued work here on earth. But you know what? So does the story of Trinity Lutheran Church and School. Jesus is still working here. Jesus is still ruling all things for the good of his people, the church, here. Jesus is still coming to people here and uniting himself to them by the gospel, working this miracle of faith in their hearts. Jesus is still working through his people here to take his good news message along with the power of the Holy Spirit that he has attached to it, out into this community and the world. Jesus is still working here. We've seen how God has done that, haven't we? These last 5 years, this is a very small part of Trinity's story, isn't it? But in these last 5 years, we've seen how Jesus has ruled over world events, difficult situation, a global pandemic, and worked it for our good. We've seen how the Holy Spirit has been sent by Jesus to grow us in faith and in love and in fellowship with each other. We've been blessed so greatly as Jesus has come to dwell in us. And grace upon grace, not only has Jesus worked in us, but he's worked through us too. As through the ministry of this congregation and this school, people have been introduced to Jesus who perhaps never knew him before and came to put their faith and their trust in him. Jesus is still working here. So don't get caught standing around staring into the sky. Don't get caught standing around looking down Highway 14 as a moving truck drives away. Jesus is still working. Pastors will come and go. It's just a fact of life, guys. But Jesus isn't going anywhere. Jesus is still working. Jesus is still doing exactly what he's been doing since the day he ascended. What did he leave? Ascend into heaven. Not leave. What did he ascend into heaven doing? His hands were raised in blessing. As his feet lifted off the earth, his hands were raised in blessing. As the cloud covered him and hid them from his sight, his hands were raised in blessing. And you can be absolutely certain that still today, his hands are raised in blessing over you and over all his people everywhere. And they will be until he comes again. So friends, let's develop some object permanence when it comes to Jesus. Let's see him just like that. Hands raised in blessing. Still with us, still working among us. Never will he leave or forsake us. And then, let's get to work. Because he'll work through us. He promises it. Until he comes again. Amen.